hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here at Tennessee Brew Works. Come by and say hello. We've been having a good time here today. Always love our visits here. Terry McCormick will join us at the bottom of the hour, talk some Titans with him. But continuing the college football playoff discussion as it gets going this weekend.
So here is a list of all the teams. Last time every college football playoff team won a national championship. We'll start number 12 with JMU. When's the last time they won a national championship?
Never.
Ah, 2016. They won the FCS national title game over Youngstown State 28-14. Number 11, Tulane.
So they're a founding member of the SEC.
Yes, sir.
Like 1935?
Oh, my gosh. The closest they ever came was 1931. They finished number two in the polls. They lost the Rose Bowl to USC 1931.
Wow.
Number 10, the Miami Hurricanes, the last time they won a national championship.
2001.
Attaboy, who'd they beat?
Who did they beat? Was it USC?
Nebraska. In the Rose Bowl, the BCS national title game. Number 9, Alabama. Where's my spotter? When's the last time they won the national championship?
Is it 20?
Hey, have a seat over there next to our wives. No, wait, get up.
21.
Close.
20.
20. Yeah. Yeah. They beat who at the Orange Bowl?
So here's the thing. I never remember the loser.
Because you're not a loser, pal.
That's right.
They beat Ohio State.
More talentless. Yeah, Ohio State. Yeah.
Number 8. When's the last time Oklahoma won a national championship?
that would be Mr. Stoops.
Who was his quarterback? Let's start there.
Was it Jason White?
Josh Heupel.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so like 99?
Go one more the other way.
2000?
There we go. Okay. They defeated Florida State 13-2 in the BCS national title game. And that was Chris Winkie, right? He won the Heisman over Heupel. Number 7, Texas A&M, the last time they won a national championship.
Have they ever won it?
They have.
Okay, so like 1939.
They beat Tulane in the Sugar Bowl to win their national championship. Number 6, Ole Miss. When's the last time Ole Miss won a national championship?
They've never won it.
They have.
They have? Mm-hmm. 1942.
Go up 20.
62.
There you go. They defeated Arkansas in the Sugar
Bowl. Was that Archibald?
That was not.
Okay.
He played like 68 through 70.
All right.
I would have lost a lot of money on this. When's the last time Oregon won a national championship in football?
Okay, Mariota lost.
Correct. They lost in 14 in the title game.
They have won one, though.
Cam Newton beat him in 2010.
Yep. I want to say like 81, 82.
The Oregon Ducks have never won a national championship.
I would have lost money on that too.
Number 4, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. When's the last time they won a national championship?
Never.
Never, right? They finished number 11 in the polls in 1938. They lost the Cotton Bowl to St. Mary's. Number 3, the Georgia Bulldogs. When was the last time Georgia won the national championship?
22?
That a boy. Yeah. Who'd they beat the snot out of in L.A. that nobody watched?
Oh, wasn't it like TCU?
That a boy. Yeah. Yes, 65-7 in that game. Number 2, if you missed this one, I'd last ask you to go home. I need a new co-host. The last time Ohio State won a national championship?
Last year.
That a boy. You remember who they beat last year? I would have totally forgot.
No.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yeah. Number 1, when's the last time the Indiana Hoosiers won a national championship in football?
Never.
Never. The closest, 1967, finished number 4, lost the Rose Bowl to USC. So number 1, Indiana has never won a national championship. You know what's funny? We don't talk anything about Texas Tech. Nothing.
No, and a lot of people, like we had Chris Childers with us a few weeks ago. A lot of people think they're the sexy pick.
He said they're going to win the national championship. If I had to, right now, Who wins right now?
Georgia.
I'm with you 100%. Yep. They just beat the snot out of teams.
I think, but here's the thing. I think they've played with their food a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that Kirby is a good enough coach, and they have good enough players that it's like literally he walks in the locker room like, all right, boys, let's go ahead and level up.
I'm with you, man. If you watch the second half of the SC Championship game versus Alabama, I don't think I've ever seen a team hit as hard as Georgia did on that Saturday evening. I mean, they were punishing Alabama guys. And look, if Alabama loses to Oklahoma, I'm going to go straight back into Oklahoma beat them because they're a better team. But because Georgia just punished them on that day. And I think Georgia, I think Georgia Oklahoma in the national championship game would be something to see. I just think Georgia is right now is the best team.
So I think, you know what? I'm going to go JMU in an upset. Over
stop.
Oregon.
Just stop it. What? Don't do. Don't
I'm
try
kidding.
To.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oregon. I say Oregon by 40,
easily.
Oregon by a lot.
JMU's never
say
seen that speed.
Oklahoma beats Alabama in overtime.
Oh, okay.
I say overtime.
I think it's like 19-7.
I think that might be the closest one of the weekend.
And I think the Venable story is great because, look, we talked about, like, he's on the high. I mean, nobody likes him out there. And you can't go 6-6 in Oklahoma. But, damn, that's a good team. And then they got that kicker in his Daisy Dukes. That's kicker of the year, by the way.
Yeah.
He won the Lou Groza Award.
Ole Miss. I think Tulane may cover this, 17.5. But Ole Miss wins by probably 10.
Who does Ole Miss win? If they win, who do they play next week?
Georgia.
Oh, man.
So I have Ole Miss. I say Texas A&M beats Miami pretty good.
If A&M wins, who they get?
Ohio State.
Who gets Texas Tech?
Texas Tech would be Oregon. So then I would say Texas Tech wins. I think Oklahoma beats Indiana.
There you go.
I think Georgia beats Ole Miss.
Georgia.
A&M, Ohio State. I don't know, man.
At the shoe?
No, it's at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, the okay.
That's favors right. A&M.
I don't know. That's I've played anybody, man.
I'd probably go A&M in a close game. If I handicap that, I'm probably saying Ohio State minus 1.5.
Okay.
Maybe.
So it's a pick 'em, right, basically?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good.
So then I'd say Georgia, Texas A&M. I still take Georgia. Texas Tech, Oklahoma. I'd probably lean Tech, and then you got Georgia Tech in the championship. And I'd take Georgia.
Yeah. I think people like that, and that's down in Miami.
It's different.
Yeah, it is, right? And I don't know. I think just Georgia is poised. But look, it's all like see James Madison beat Oregon, right? Tulane beat Ole Miss. I mean, cause it'd be fun to watch that and upset the apple cart, all that goes with that. But just a tall task. I think if there's an upset, I think Tulane upsets Ole Miss, not James Madison, Oregon. I just don't think James Madison has seen that type of speed all year long. And that's because, they're in the Sun Belt, right? And so Tulane's in the America, and they play a lot of good teams in there that have speed and just up the road. But if there's an upset, I think Tulane would upset Ole Miss. I don't think it'll happen, but if there's one that you look at, that's the closest one.
Cam Ward is supposed to speak now at 1:30, so Terry McCormick going to join us coming up next. We'll talk about the Titans with him before Cam gets to the podium. We'll do that live from Tennessee Brew Works. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. The Game here on this Wednesday at Tennessee Brew Works. I just compared Big Joe to a cat, so that's where
about
we're
the same.
At.
I got the zoomies. I don't know what's going on right now. Probably the 13 Diet Cokes I've drank here.
He's like, you need a squirt bottle. I'm like, you're like a cat. Just spray it. Spray you when you scratch out the furniture. Let's bring in Terry McCormick, Titan Insider, with us now. How you doing, Terry?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. Have you memorized the new Titans roster? Because it has changed quite a bit in the last few days with Kevin Winston, Xavier Woods, Mike Brown all going on IR. They brought in couple of safeties I've never heard of. They've brought in a guard from Cleveland that they claimed on waivers. And then you got Ola Dejo, Bryce Oliver, and Ollie Gay that have been designated to return to practice. So quite a few changes.
Yeah, the wheels have been spinning quite a bit, mostly out of necessity because, like you said, the injuries to three different safeties and all in the first half of Sunday's game against the 49ers kind of necessitated that. So, you know, this is a team that, you know, is at the bottom of the league. So you're probably going to benefit some by taking a look at as many players as you can over this final 3 weeks of the season. And, you know, if you find one guy who's it can be in your plans going forward for next year, then it's probably worth it.
It's really disappointing that Kevin Winston is shut down for the year after getting hurting, I think it was a hamstring. Because I've been intrigued by him. I think he's played well. I don't think he's gotten full opportunities yet. And so I think these last full games were going to be important for him. But where are you on him and his development as you look forward to next year?
Well, I think he's probably one of their two starters next year, you know, at the deep safety position, along with Amani Hooker. I know that they had moved him into the nickel after they traded Roger McCrary, and after, you know, Jalen Armour Davis went down, they needed to move Marcus Harris outside. But I think ideally they would like him to be one of their deep safeties next year and move Marcus Harris back to the nickel and then figure out something to do on the outside at cornerback, as they need to completely revamp the secondary. But Winston, you know, he had his moments where he looked really good. And I think one of the things that he brought to the table too was he was a pretty good blitzer out of that nickel, you know, that big nickel package. He got a sack, got a tackle for loss on a couple of plays. So, you know, he's one of the more promising guys on this roster if he can just find a way to stay healthy.
Terry McCormick is with us on the very popular Chasing Big Joe show. Terry, somebody asked me this last night, and I had to laugh. In your wildest dream, memory, thought, anything going forward, is Mike McCoy have a shot at being the head coach of the Titans in 26?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think his only hope would have been, you know, if this team had somehow gotten hot and reeled off, you know, one – four out of the last five or something like that, then they might have had to give it consideration. But I think they need to go a completely different direction. I think they need to be in a situation where they can just kind of clear the decks and, you know, move forward, you know, anew, trying to find somebody that can maximize Cam Ward going forward.
Absolutely with that. And then, you know, let me ask you this. Do you think Brinker has his guy already?
No, I think they're going through the process. I think that they are, you know, going to try and talk to as many people as they can. But I think they probably will end up zeroing in on two or three. And I think, you know, some of the candidates that, you know, you'll obviously hear brought up are Mike McCarthy, who had as a connection with Brinker back in Green Bay, Matt Nagy, who has a connection with Borgonzi from Kansas City, and then, you know, it's also interesting, you know, like, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier, I think, about Robert Saleh as a possibility. I know you talked about how you like him. I mean, you know, he's a guy that might be deserving of another shot because, you know, the New York Jets are famous for ruining coaches and quarterbacks.
Right.
Maybe he can overcome that.
Let me ask you this. Let's say it's Matt Nagy, which the connection is to Borgonzi. Would that just be, okay, that's the guy they went with? Or would that be an indication that maybe Borgonzi is getting more in favor with Amy and Brinker is falling out of favor with Amy?
No, I don't think that that's the indication. I think that if they went with a guy like Nagy, I feel like that they feel like that he would be the guy that they need to lead this organization going forward, that he would be the guy that could bring out the best in Cam Ward, the guy that could oversee the construction, you know, of the roster along with Borgonzi and Brinker to kind of bring this thing back to life. You know, he did a pretty decent job his first couple of years in Chicago. I mean, a lot of people forget, you know, he won, I think it was 11 games with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. So that's not the worst thing in the world to have on your resume, that you've done it, you know, without having, you know, superior play at the quarterback position, not necessarily, you know?
You're exactly right. Terry, three games left for this team, the Chiefs, the Saints, and the Jaguars. What do you think they need? You need to see from this football team? Because, like, I'm not a believer anymore that things carry over. Like, you got the momentum the next year because half this team won't be here, and they got no coaching change, everything goes on. But these last three games, what do you think we're going to see on the field from the Titans?
I think you're going to probably see more of the same, the way things have looked.
Yay.
With a lot of young players and a lot of guys, you know, learning on the fly. Here's what I want to see, and tell me if you guys disagree with this, but what I want to see in somewhere in these three games, I want to see Cam Ward take control and have his signature moment of willing this team down the field and getting, you know, and keeping them in a game and having a chance to win it, maybe pulling it out. You look at the way Brock Purdy played on Sunday. I mean, Brock Purdy's what? Probably a top 15 quarterback in the league? Is that fair?
Yeah.
So, but Brock Purdy dissected them on Sunday. Brock Purdy dictated what was going to happen in that game completely with the way he was able to operate that 49ers offense. I know this is a terrible team. I know Cam Ward is a rookie quarterback, but sometime before this season's over, I'd like to see the guy have his signature game and be able to put the team on his back a little bit and move this offense consistently down the field with his playmaking. We've seen a flash of it here and a flash of it there, but we haven't seen it in a complete game. And, you know, if we're being honest, you know, even Will Levis showed us that, you know, three or four games, you know, in the year and a half that he started. You know, there were three or four times where he had you really believing that he could be the guy going forward. And, you know, with Cam Ward, I know he's a rookie, but I need to see that signature moment from him in one of these final three games.
Why do you think we've not seen that?
That's a good question. I mean, that's a good question. Some of it's on him. Some of it's on the poor supporting cast. Some of it's on just, I guess, the kind of losing that's permeated this building over the last three or four years. It's just hard to shake that off. And, you know, the roster, you know, wasn't very good to begin with, and now it's kind of decimated with injuries at different spots. But, you know, to be honest with you, I can't put my finger on why we haven't seen that, you know, exactly, but I think there are probably a lot of factors involved.
How many – have you covered this team since they showed up in Nashville?
I covered this team since the year in Memphis, yes.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that. Is this the worst you've ever – I know we talk all the time about bad things, and I trust me, I want to talk positive all as much as I can, but is this as bad as it's been for the Titans that you've seen since 97?
Yes, this is the worst team I've seen them put on the field. I think the only team that comes close – I mean, we thought last year was bad. Last year's team would probably beat this team by a touchdown. And you know, and the thing of it is, the worst team that I've witnessed was probably the year that Ken Whisenhunt was coaching, and they were running through, you know, Zach Mettenberger and Charlie Whitehurst, and, you know,
14.
Dick Walker was hurt. You know, that team was horrendous. But I think this team may be worse.
Oh my gosh, Terry McCormick is with us. What do we think Cam Ward's going to have to say today?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, he's generally pretty level-headed when he talks. He's not going to say anything that's going to, you know, be too controversial, I don't think. But I think, you know, he's probably just going to say that he needs to play better and that he wants to continue to improve is probably what's on the docket from him here in a few minutes.
Well, that's unfortunate. We didn't get the plane insider this week. So
that's right. Terry, real quick, Mitch in Bellevue says, tell Terry for me that it was a pleasure to bowl with him at George Plaster's event a few weeks ago. Look at you, Terry, making a difference in somebody's life bowling.
There you go. Hey, Mitch, you know, he's the one that paid to, you know, be in the tournament and donated to the charity. So he's the one making the difference in kids' lives. So that's great. I enjoyed it. I really did.
Good. Good.
Terry, we appreciate it as always. Thanks for moving around for us. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. We're live today at Tennessee Brew Works. All right. The time has come, Joe. Do you have a caller number?
Yes.
To give out?
In honor of Cam Ward, because we still believe in him. In honor of Cam Ward, let's go number six.
Well done. Caller number six will win a $100 gift card for A Moment's Peace located at 9050 Carruthers Parkway in Franklin, and also qualify to win the grand prize of a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. Caller number six, 615-737-1025. Good luck. More coming from Tennessee Brewworks. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game. This song goes out to Ricky. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Is there a reason why?
I don't know. I just was being silly.
It sounds okay. I get all that. Well done there.
Live at Tennessee Brewworks today here on 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Terry McCormick for joining us. Ryan O'Reilly will join us in the 2 o'clock hour. So look forward to that as the Predators have been hot as of late.
Big game tonight versus the Hurricanes. Are they
Carolina?
They're in first place in the Metro. I about said something else right there.
They are.
In the Metro division of the hockey. Metro something.
I know where you were going.
Metro, it's a name for somebody that's in tune with themselves and looks snazzy, you know?
Enlighten me, Joe. I'm not too sure I'm familiar.
I'd say a Dean Martin type guy. Guy that's comfortable in his own socks. Right?
I don't think so.
No, I think Dean Martin. You don't think Dean Martin was comfortable in his own
Yeah, but I don't think the way you're describing it's the same correction there.
Well, there's the Western Conference and there's the Metro Conference, and then that's how you play it. You win your conference and you advance on.
Gotcha. Hey, Chase, you want to go to the game tonight?
Sure. You got tickets?
He's got plenty of tickets for this weekend.
Might have a connection there.
You know, it's funny. You boys weren't alive when the Metro Conference actually meant something, was a real thing back in the 80s and 90s. I don't know when Metro Conference went away.
I remember
Louisville, Florida State, Southern Miss. Who am I leaving out? Tulane.
The Metro Conference went away in 95.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was around.
Who were the teams? Cincinnati.
In the wait, this is proposed. All right. The charter members were Cincinnati, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Memphis, St. Louis, and Tulane.
What year was that? Like 50s?
Yeah, I guess the charter members. The Metro Conference was founded in 1975 with institutions that were located in urban metro areas. The charter, I just said that. Florida State joined in 1976 while South Carolina turned down the invitation. In 1978, Georgia Tech left for the ACC. And 1979, Virginia Tech took its spot. In 1982, St. Louis left to join the Midwestern Collegiate Conference, now known as the Horizon League, while Southern Miss took its spot the same year. South Carolina finally joined in 1983. In 1985, West Virginia was in talks to replace Tulane, but they went to the A-10, or stayed in the A-10. Tulane was readmitted in 1989. 1991, Florida State left for the ACC, and South Carolina left for the SEC.
Well, it's a lot of move, but the 80s, it was fun because they were like the stepchild that nobody played with, but Cincinnati and Southern Miss and Tulane and Memphis and Florida State. I remember when Southern Miss upset, was it Florida State? I mean, Brett Favre was going crazy one game, and they would always play like that early Jefferson Pilot game. It'd be like, it's Auburn versus Southern Miss today, or it's Ole Miss taking on Memphis. I mean, those games. But it was just a lot of fun before money and everything else got involved and everything in the Metro Conference.
So there was a proposed super conference in 1990. The study was conducted by Raycom Sports. The conference would have included members of the Metro, the Atlantic 10, and the Big East. But it was not clear if the conference would become a football sponsoring conference. The original study plan also included Penn State, which was invited to join the Big Ten in 1989. So the proposed, what it would have been, was Boston College, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Rutgers, Syracuse, Temple, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, East Carolina, Florida State, Louisville, Memphis State, Miami, South Carolina, Southern Miss, Tulane, and then I guess Pennsylvania.
On and on. You know, good, because Hasselbeck brothers didn't want any of that smoke from the South. they didn't want to go down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or Memphis, and take those teams on like that. But it's just like, look, I mean, it's always, look, that's 1990 they're proposing a super conference. Yeah. So all this talk has always been around about super conferences and more and more and more. But then, you know, SEC added in 92, added South Carolina, Arkansas, and then was it 12, added A&M and Missouri, and then 2 years ago added Texas and Oklahoma. It's not going to stop, obviously. Who's next should they gobble? You get two more teams.
For the SEC?
For the SEC, who do you get? Two more teams.
Miami, Florida State.
I go North Carolina.
And Duke?
No. Duke can stay over there. We don't want Duke. North Carolina and Miami.
That would work, yeah.
Because you got to think. Because you got to build your basketball. So there's your North Carolina.
You know who would fight Duke? Vandy. Because Vandy loves holding that academic. We're the academic school.
Right. They do, yeah. So that gets you up to 18. But I think getting Miami, yeah. Now you get that whole, the top 10 market down in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and all South Florida.
I think the next expansion is 20. I think they add 4.
Then you go 4 divisions of 5 or 5 divisions of 4?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they need to get away with the conference championship. That's going to go away. And then it's all changing, man.
I think because, the ACC is going to go away because they've stepped on their own feet for way too long. So I think I could see the SEC taking Miami, maybe Clemson, North Carolina.
But if you look at the ACC, are there TV markets bigger than the SEC? Is Nashville the biggest, or Austin the biggest TV market in the SEC?
It's a great question.
Because not Birmingham. Birmingham's in the 30s. Nashville and Austin are in the upper 20s.
That's probably.
But the ACC's got Boston.
Well,
you got Boston.
Do you count Atlanta because Georgia?
You kind of can, you know, so I guess you would.
I think they would count them. Atlanta would count them.
So look at the ACC. Boston for Boston College.
Yeah.
Charlotte. Get Miami.
Miami.
You get Charlotte. You get the whole state of North Carolina just because of all that. Louisville. Louisville's a top 30 market. By the way, Louisville got spanked last night by the Vols. I don't watch college basketball until March, but it popped up my timeline.
Well, right now, what's Berkeley close to? Is it San Francisco?
Oh, God, I forgot about all that.
Cal and Sanford.
I forgot. Yeah, San Francisco's a top 5 market. But I don't think they care about Cal.
They don't.
San Francisco.
Do you think eventually schools like Cal and SC and UCLA, like they kind of go, all right, maybe we need to rethink this, and there's some
never
version of the Pac-12 that reemerges?
Because when they get that Big Ten check of about $40 million.
True.
Here's $40 million just for existing. Okay, thank you. And then they can figure out travel. They do all. I mean, they're able to get through it now. I mean, USC gets beat when they go play 11 o'clock or big noon kickoff games. They're done. It's just tough for them to compete. But that's the world they've created they wanted to be in. But when they get those Big Ten checks, that's why people are like, you know, before Vanderbilt, you hear Vanderbilt all the time. Get Vandy out of the SEC. They're not leaving, especially
they're
now.
They're a founding member.
They're getting $40, $45 million. They're not going anywhere. And good. They're here to stay for a while.
I'll be curious, too. Like, if you did two super conferences, and let's say it's 24 in each one, or 32 in each one, I mean, who gets left out? Like, if it's the SEC – if it's the SEC and the Big Ten, and they basically are like, hey, we're going to go do our thing, you're going to kick some people out.
What's wrong with it now?
Nothing. I mean, what was wrong with it 10 years ago?
I mean, the Big 12's doing fine. I mean, their NIL is really good. The guys that bought into Texas Tech, and look what they're doing. Some fun football there. I mean, it's not going to be at the SEC football. I get all that, but – see, I like it now. You get the Power Four and the Group of Five. That's good.
I liked it pre-2012. You had, I was fine with bringing in South Carolina and Arkansas, whatever. they've been around as pretty much as long as I've been alive. They've been in the SEC. So I was fine before Missouri and A&M joined because you had the Big 12. Like, you remember the Big 12 championship game used to be badass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was awesome.
The kid did.
You know, and so you had the Big 12. You had the Big 10 that hadn't, you know, I think they had 12 teams at the time. The ACC was solid. The Pac-12 was solid, or the Pac-10 was solid. You know, and we, you know, they just had to go mess it all up.
They, I just, you know, it's always, you weren't born yet, but Vandy fans have been around a while. You remember what Beano Cook said, and it got you guys all irate. Said the only way Vanderbilt ever win the SEC is the other nine teams go on probation. And, man, that set off a firestorm. I think it was like 81 or 82, and that's the year that Vandy actually went to a bowl game and played Air Force at the All-American Bowl down in Birmingham. So it's just, it's all evolving. I just, you know, it just, it's going to change next year and after that. And you all wanted all this chaos in college football, and it's fun to talk about it. But, you know, when it was four teams, you know, the fifth and sixth were going to yelp. But you knew the fifth and sixth team, like we've talked about this before, the teams in the college football playoff, there's maybe three that could win this, right? Nine of those schools ain't winning the national championship.
Yeah, you're right.
So you want to add more schools in there. You got more schools who aren't going to win it, and you guys know this.
Well, because they think they can get the same magic in football that you get with the NCAA tournament. But what happens in the NCAA basketball tournament every year?
Yeah.
You have your upsets, and everybody gets excited with your Loyola Chicago's and your VCU's and all that stuff. But what ultimately always ends up happening?
Yeah. What's
the team that's supposed to win it wins it.
Is it Villanova? I'm going to give this real quick before the break. What's the lowest? Who was the lowest seed to ever win the NCAA championship basketball? And I think it was Villanova in 85. Is that correct?
That sounds.
They were, number eight. The lowest seed to ever win the NCAA men's basketball championship is a number eight seed, a feat accomplished by Villanova in 1985, when they famously upset the heavily favored number one seed, Georgetown Hoyas, in a thrilling final game. So, yeah, these upsets ain't happening all the way to the national championship. They're not.
By the way, AI is very weird.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Is that Peyton Manning, a Vanderbilt jersey
yes.
in a packed Dudley Field?
Yes. I just saw this on Twitter. There's an account called Door Manning, and it's a photoshopped or AI picture of Peyton from college, and he's wearing a number 16 Vanderbilt jersey.
God, he looks
like so
terrible
weird.
In that. Does he not? You're used to seeing him in orange and white.
Yeah, it's just weird, man.
Hey, like, I have to triple check now on AI.
Oh, yeah. I never knew.
I got burned on an AI the other day, and our friend Ricky called me out on it. But, yeah. Hey, I'm team no delete, people. I own up to my mistake. It was this video where – did you see it the other day?
No, but I'm laughing at the one I'm showing you.
There's a video of a place that says this place exists where it's an animal shelter, but the dog chooses you. And so these people are sitting around this big room, and these dogs all come in, and they choose their owner. And I'm like, oh, man, that is so awesome, beautiful, and wonderful. And it was AI. And I was like, I'm done for today. I'm done for today. Because I fall for anything – dogs and elephants, you got me, man. Do you know about elephants, Chase? Dr. Crane, do you know this?
Enlighten me.
Elephants see us, humans, the same way we see dogs.
I was waiting for that.
go tell Woody and Jim that. I tell them that once a week. That's how we see. So we love elephants, man. They're so sweet until they step on you. But I'm telling you, they see us the same way we see dogs. I mean, I have to pet every dog that comes around. There were dogs here at Tennessee Brewworks last time we were petting.
Yep. Coming up next, more dog stories.
Yes!
From Big Joe. We're live at Tennessee Brewworks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. The Beach Boys. Bringing us back here from Tennessee Brewworks. We'll talk to Ryan O'Reilly coming up here in just a few minutes. You asked me during the break if I could bring up the odds for the college football playoff.
Yeah, Vegas is always correct.
So here are the odds to win it all,
okay.
To win the national championship. The longest odds at plus 75,000, which means if you bet $1, you would win $750. if one of these teams won the national championship.
Okay.
Tulane and James Madison.
Holy cow. So if you put 50 down, what do you win? I'm terrible with math.
If you put 50 down, you would win $37,500.
I mean, they call it gambling for a reason, man.
At 45-1, Oklahoma.
What?
Mm-hmm. Which would win you about $2,200 with if you put 50 down.
Yep. Really?
Plus 4,500, Oklahoma.
JoJo makes notation of this.
Miami is 25-1. At 22-1, both Ole Miss and Alabama. 19-1 is Texas A&M. Plus 850, Texas Tech and Oregon. And then you got Georgia at plus 600, Indiana at plus 310, and Ohio State at plus 195. So they are the favorite.
Okay. All right. So if you put 50 bucks down at 650, you win nothing basically, right?
Yeah. So to make the quarterfinal, if you wanted to do something like that, James Madison's plus 1160, Tulane's plus 590.
Okay.
Miami plus 136, and then Oklahoma minus 102, Bama minus 118, A&M minus 164, Ole Miss minus 900, and Oregon minus 2,800.
That Oklahoma to win the national championship, 45-1.
Yeah, that's a
– What, and Georgia is plus 300?
Georgia is plus 600.
600, okay.
Which, that's not bad.
Not at all. Oh, Lord.
I mean, you put 50, that's $300.
That's right, man. It's 250 more than you had before.
Yep.
So.
are we doing this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Clay. Hello, Clay.
Was that planned?
No, it was not. Call back, Clay.
So Clay had his big meeting with Candace yesterday. For those of a quick backstory, Clay was banned from Vanderbilt's campus for flipping off an Arkansas basketball player on the court after he hit all these three-point shots years ago. Clay was banned from campus. Now, he's done this grassroots program to get back on campus. He had a meeting with the athletic director yesterday, Candace Story Lee. I don't know how this went.
Which good on her for doing that.
Right. I do know that Clay evidently allegedly brought his pastor with him. So we'll see if Clay would call back, and we'll see what this can do, because I'm curious to see how this goes.
Dr. Crane accidentally hung up on you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That was so perfect.
I was going to click the top line, and then my finger hit both pictures. Pictures, both
buttons.
Just don't
ask Clay about Mario Moore. Clay, call back. We know you're listening. He's probably outside Tennessee Brew Works right now looking at us.
He's going to just walk in smiling here in a second.
All right, with his talent.
All right, Clay, we got Ryan O'Reilly coming up, but then call back at like 2:15, and we'll hear about this. That'll be great. Ryan O'Reilly is going to join us next from Tennessee Brew Works, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.